Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the Elon Musk podcast. This is a show where we discuss the critical crossroads that shape SpaceX, Tesla, X, The Boring Company, and Neuralink. And I'm your host, Will Walden. If you want uninterrupted episodes of the Elon Musk podcast, please go to clubelon.supercast.com to find out how. There's a link in the show notes. This morning, SpaceX launched their massive Starship rocket, and they completed a half-world journey after launching from South Texas Starbase Boca Chica. Now, this is a low-Earth orbit launch. It's a crucial capability for future launches for Starship, and the launch occurred from Starbase at about 8:25 a.m. Central Time. This is the third iteration of the full-stack Starship rocket flight. It's 397 feet tall. And its width is bigger than a 747 jumbo jet. It's huge. It's about 30 feet around. And it had its takeoff time adjusted to ensure the surrounding waters were clear of any vessels. So people in boats were hanging out in the no-fly zone. And SpaceX had to take a little bit extra time to move those boats, get those boats out of there. They were supposed to launch at about 7:30 a.m. Central Time, so 8:30 a.m. my time in Eastern Time, and they had to push it back about an hour to get those boats out of there, which is very crucial, very beneficial to those boats because it's very dangerous to be under the giant shrapnel tube that is Starship. That is if it didn't work out right, but this launch went pretty well, actually. So this flight built on previous tests. There's marked improvements, and now they're moving closer to operational satellite launches for the Starlink. They're going to accelerate Starlink satellite deployments, and this will contribute to the company's expansive network of satellites orbiting the Earth right now, and also accelerate their bottom line. They make money from Starlink, and if they can deploy hundreds of Starlinks more per month, they will have more coverage. And people will be able to get the coverage more, and they'll have better coverage for the people on the Earth and therefore make more money. So Elon Musk celebrated this launch. He's prideful about what happened with the team. He said Starship reached orbital velocity, which is a huge deal for Starship because probably the next phase is to get it to orbit, IFT-4, to get it to orbit. Make sure that everything works right. They open up the hatch door today. They did a propellant transfer demonstration. They closed the hatch door. It was a pretty big milestone, a bunch of little milestones that were pretty big. And there's several firsts that happened during this flight. And one of those was the payload door that happened. The payload door opens and closes sort of like a Pez dispenser. That's what they call it. And that was that happened for about 20 minutes straight. And there was also an internal transfer of liquid oxygen propellant. They're stepping stones towards in-orbit fuel refueling, which is a necessity for more extended space missions, including the Artemis missions for NASA, lunar landings, and also Mars missions. Now, not all objectives were met, though. The Super Heavy booster failed to execute a controlled splashdown, leading to an uncontrolled descent into the Gulf of Mexico, which is, you know, they plan for these things, and they'll learn from it. Additionally, a planned Raptor engine restart in space did not occur, with SpaceX yet to provide any explanation about why that happened or why that didn't happen. So Starship also allows for substantial payload capabilities, promising to deliver up to 150 metric tons to low Earth orbit. And in an expendable configuration, this capacity nearly doubles to about 300 metric tons, which is an absolutely massive amount of things to send to low Earth orbit. It's
incredible how much 300 metric tons of things are. Now, Musk is talking about Starship recently. He envisioned it as a cornerstone in his plan for interplanetary human settlement, particularly Mars. And in the shorter term, Starship will play a crucial role in satellite deployment, in an integral role in NASA's Artemis program for lunar exploration, starting with Artemis 3 in about 2028, probably. The flight demonstrated the reliability of the Super Heavy booster's 33 Raptor engines, all of which performed great. The thrust powered the rocket on its initial climb and subsequent trajectory over the Gulf of Mexico. Now, approximately 2 minutes and 42 seconds post-launch, the booster began shutting down its engines, initiating a hot staging process. Now, this technique, which was inspired by Russian rocketry, allows for a seamless transition between stages, avoiding any interrupted thrust. So basically, the booster is still going up and out, and as that's happening, the stages start separating, but when they separate, the ship actually ignites its engines, and it pushes the booster back a little bit while also pushing the second stage, the Starship vehicle itself, up towards orbit faster. Now, the upper stage's 6 Raptor engines then propelled the vehicle to a near orbital velocity, reaching a peak altitude of 144 miles. And like Elon said, they did get to orbital velocity eventually. The design trajectory ensured that the spacecraft would re-enter the atmosphere before completing a full orbit, preventing it from becoming space debris. We don't want that. We don't want it to burn up. We want to test all the systems on the way back in. Now, comparing the first 3 orbital test flights of Starship, though, a clear trajectory of improvement is evident. The initial flight faced engine failures and caused huge damage to the launch pad. The second flight saw no engine failures, though a propellant tank led to the rocket's destruction. Now, also, the reliability of the Raptor engines has been confirmed over the last 2 flights, addressing earlier concerns regarding their performance. This is a huge achievement for SpaceX's rocket technology. It shows that they can continue to build these, and they're on the right track to build hundreds of these, according to Elon Musk. Now, onboard cameras during this flight were unprecedented, including the hot staging process and the rocket, its whole journey across the globe. There are valuable insights into the rocket's performance and the behavior in various phases of the flight for SpaceX, but also we got to see them as well. So that was a really, really great treat for all of us rocket fans out there. And this flight was a success. But it concluded over the Indian Ocean, where Starship re-entered the Earth's atmosphere and was ultimately destroyed. But we also got great video of that. So if you haven't seen that yet, please check it out on SpaceX's X account. But despite all the failures, it was deemed the most successful to date, fulfilling several crucial objectives. And NASA's anticipation for this mission stems from $4 billion investment in Starship for lunar missions. The test represents a significant step forwards for humans to return to the moon, especially with that propellant transfer. That's something they'll have to do for the Artemis missions to get people back to the moon. Now, SpaceX has several more Starships in production. They're continuing to aim for test flights throughout the year. Elon said he wants to have 9 test flights. Realistically, if they can get to 9 test flights, that would be ridiculous. Everybody that I've talked to so far in the space flight category has said 6 at best. More than likely, they'll have 4 more this year, but 6 at the best. But if they can get 9, they still have to get approval for the 9 as well, which they probably will get approval. Now, with each subsequent flight, though, they're going to be refining Starship's design and capabilities every single time. The iterative process is crucial for developing the future success of Starship. And every single ship will be better, faster, more powerful, more reliable, and be able to get things to low Earth orbit in a more timely manner. And each test is a learning opportunity. Hardware is evolving, software is evolving. The ground systems are all evolving every single launch, and SpaceX advances its mission of space exploration, and they're inching closer to its goals of interplanetary travel and also habitation every single launch of Starship.
Hey, thank you so much for listening today. I really do appreciate your support. If you could take a second and hit the subscribe or the follow button on whatever podcast platform that you're listening on right now, I'd greatly appreciate it. It helps out the show tremendously, and you'll never miss an episode. And each episode is about 10 minutes or less to get you caught up quickly. And please, if you want to support the show even more, go to patreon.com/stagezero. And please take care of yourselves and each other. And I'll see you tomorrow.